Leo Tolstoy once made this profound statement. Everyone thinks of changing the world, but no one thinks of changing himself. You know, wouldn't it be just a perfect world if we could change it according to our wishes? It would be utopia. Everything we dreamed of would be a reality. There would be no poverty, no wars, no murders, no crime statistics, no terror. Every day would be a day of our liking. Sunny, clear days. And if there'd be any rain, it would come while we were sleeping. There would be no pain. There'd be no suffering, no sadness, and no deaths, or at least no death among those whom we know and love. It would be the world of our dreams, a world filled with fantasy, totally unrealistic, and could very well end up in being one big disaster. You know, in one way or another, isn't that the way we tried to do it, though? We tried to mold the circumstances around us so as to fit what we think is best. And often that means best for us. We definitely see this in our politics. It is often said that we vote our wallets or what we may think to be the best for our wallets. But in doing so, the world seems not to be any better than it was before. The bottom line is that we all want to make our influence known in life, but the question is that to make a positive influence, we may have to take note of Tolstoy and see that the change may have to start within ourselves. The better world begins with a better self. This means a self which goes beyond one's own promotion of self to the promotion of the good of life itself. Now, today's lesson about Saul gives us insight into this. Saul of Tarsus, a devout Jew, who had the extensive schooling and training in Jewish traditions and religion. He has been considered to be a Pharisee, or at least trained in the Pharisaic tradition, if not even a rabbi. Although he had the credentials of a Roman citizen, he was a zealot of the strict preservation of the Hebrew religion and tradition. Life to him was the Mosaic law, and to corrupt the law in any way was blasphemy. Therefore, his worldview was to change anything which interfered with corrupting or reforming the Hebraic law and tradition. Now, the early followers of Christ, after his resurrection and ascension, who were called the Way, but were seen to threaten all what Saul loved, all that he cherished, and all that he defended. They were a threat to the Mosaic law. This is why Jesus was crucified. For he was a threat to the long-standing laws and traditions of the Jews. The problem was that the followers of the Way did not stop believing in what Jesus taught and lived. They kept meeting in secret and even spreading the word about Jesus in public. Now the Sanhedrin, the authority of the Jews, saw this as a continuing threat and sought out these people of the way, arrested, tried them as blasphemers of the law of Moses and of God. These violators of the law would then be convicted and condemned to death. Condemned to death by stoning, which is a cruel practice, which ISIS, by the way, is using today to kill whom they deem to be infidels and traitors. There have been some graphic videos of this on the internet. This was the way of the authorities, how the authorities dealt with changing their present world or societal conditions. The people of the way were seen as a changing force and in the process threatening their long-standing authority. Therefore, the Sanhedrin not only thought about changing the threatening conditions of their world, they actively sought to destroy it. Now, this was exactly the mindset of Saul, who became an enforcer of the sentences. Being a zealot, he put his thoughts of changing the threat to his world into action. His religious world view was to in control of him. It was Saul who led the mob who carried out the death by stoning of Stephen, an early follower of Christ, and seen as a member of the way. With the persecution and threats made upon them, the way, the followers of Jesus went into hiding in Jerusalem, but at the same time continued their mission. Some took refuge in Damascus in order to escape the daily pressure of becoming the next victim of the Sanhedrin guard who were in search of them. Saul knew what was happening and saw his chance to stop the spread of this blasphemous movement by carrying forth the elimination of Jesus' followers in Damascus. Don't let it spread. Therefore, he sought and obtained letters of authority to the synagogues in Damascus to carry forth the mission of arresting and taking the blasphemers back to Jerusalem in order to be tried. He obtained the letters and took off by foot to Damascus with the contingent of Sanhedrin guard, a journey of about 140 miles by foot. The journey would take about a week. Now, since he was a Pharisee, Saul could not walk with or associate with the Sanhedrin guard who were accompanying him. So he essentially traveled alone, 140 miles a week, traveled alone, left to his own thoughts. The journey thus must have been a miserable time. He must have thought about Stephen's word as he was being stoned. Look now. I see the heavens opened and the Son of Man standing at God's right hand. And then Stephen continued, Lord Jesus, receive my spirit. And final words of Stephen before he died. Lord, set not this sin to their charge. And seeing this brutal death, then being in charge of this brutal death, and hearing the words of Stephen's, must have haunted Saul as he trudged along the road. Now, the road to Damascus ends with the descent from Mount Hermon. The terrain of high mountain followed by the low-lying city of Damascus often atmospherically created sudden and violent thunderstorms. And this might be what Saul experienced. When the sharp flash of light threw him to the ground and blinded him, but this was no ordinary thunderstorm. A voice came to him. Saul, Saul, why do you persecute me? Who are you? Who are you, Lord? I am Jesus, whom you are persecuting. But get up and enter the city, and you will be told what to do. Can you imagine? Can you imagine what must have been going through Saul's mind? Here he had met Jesus in this traumatic moment. Jesus, the one who he was persecuting. Could it be? Could it be that I was wrong about what I believed about my mission in life? Could it be that I have been blinded to the truth? Could I really have been wrong? Could I have murdered an innocent man of God? Saul's mental suffering led him into that was present as they led him into the city. And this suffering must have been enormous. Now, he now faced the fact that at that moment he must have come to the realization that it was not the world that needed to be changed according by his negative wishes. But first and foremost, the need he needed to change. He had been traveling the road of death and destruction because his core beliefs led him down that road. The change he had sought was not what God's love was about. Being brought to his knees, he now was confronted with entering a new life, which would bring drastic changes to not only him, but the world in which he lived. The changes that he would seek in life of his fellow man would no longer be destructive, but would lay the foundation for Christianity for centuries thereafter, until this very day. But first it took the change within himself. After this traumatic and life-changing moment, Saul was placed into the hands of a follower of Jesus, Ananias, who would heal his sight and baptize him. It was Ananias who would be Saul's teacher and mentor in those early days of his conversion. Saul, who would take on what some have said was his Roman name, Paul. Paul's conversion immediately led him to transfer his enthusiastic zeal from his Hebrew traditional belief to that of believing in Jesus. We are told he almost immediately began proclaiming Jesus in the synagogues. He is the Son of God. Make no mistake about it. He is the Son of God. Saul was forced to confront himself by the risen Jesus. And thus, this confrontation led him to completely change his life. You know, the story of Saul is one which plays out day in and day out in the lives of people who experience being brought to their knees by how they respond to life. They experience the repercussions of the reality of their worldview. When their reality comes crashing down, then hopefully they are able to see that if they are to have any kind of positive life and make any kind of positive change in the world, they must first change within themselves. This change is brought about by recognizing that the ultimate good is represented by God's message through Jesus. This message is not a message of death and destruction, but a message of compassion, a message of love, a message of forgiveness, not only for those who share this life with us, but for the love of the life which God has given us. The change within is to accept this gift of life from God and encompass it with the love of God. There is no greater gift to receive this gift of life from God. Saul discovered it on that road long ago. On his knees, he discovered it. It is then that we may face the realities of our lives, and our lives will automatically bring a positive change to the world in which we live. If we go to our knees and say, this is the Son of God, the resurrected Lord. This is the way. God's love, God's forgiveness, and the compassion that we can give. That's what it's all about. Amen.